Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody had a great weekend and I hope everybody was able to celebrate Easter the way you wanted to, the way you wanted to express your religious convictions and enjoyed the meaning and the reason for, you know, this holiday. And so you are listening to the only show that is going to get and open up the details for you of what we need to do, what has to happen. And I have a big aside to go through, but I have also a lot of stuff to go through as well. But let me, before I just jump into the big aside, the listen to number is 605-562-4209. That way, if you're driving, if you're out and about and you can't get your Reclaiming the Republic on, just dial 605-562-4209. As well, you also know the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. I've talked a lot, and I've talked with a lot of people that have these myopic focuses. And so many people are dug into these, whether it be religious, abortion, whether it be immigration, it really doesn't matter. Even if you have just a couple of things that you're focused on, you have to back out. You have to acknowledge that the real problem that we are dealing with is the fact that the federal government is not complying to the Constitution. They have no standing to dictate that there has to be a separation of church and state at the state level. That goes in the face of the historical documents that we can prove academically. Every single state that, you know, when the Constitution was established, every single state had a state-sponsored religion. If the concept of a separation of church and state was the original intent, the federal government would have shut down every single one of these churches and would have shut down the worshiping and the involvement in education and all these things that the churches were doing. This has been the biggest facade that evil men have been able to perpetrate against this American Republic, and it has been the greatest harm done. There's no doubt in my mind that the few things that they've been able to implement in godlessness and secularism and so forth has really debased our society. To understand what America needs to do to become great once again, getting government out of every facet of our life, such as religious expression and so forth. So as we kind of move forward, I want you to understand what I am doing. Let me give you a historical snapshot. If you look back at the Republic at the time when the Confederation was literally falling apart, the Articles of Confederation were basically at this point inept. Half the states weren't paying their war debt. Some of the states were crushing their people over their war debt, such as Massachusetts. And so the Continental Congress and the federal government was really teetering on default and just into ruin. And what was going to happen? Well, either the states, the colonies and the states had to figure out what they needed to do to move forward. And they didn't have an idea. And as a matter of fact, James Madison, because he became so well educated from the books he was receiving. See, while Thomas Jefferson was traveling abroad in Europe, he was buying books and mailing them home. The recipient of these books, who he trusted to get these books into his estate, was James Madison. Well, Madison just didn't travel down to Monticello and, you know, just put the books on a shelf. He read them. Thomas Jefferson was having too much of a good time to have time to read these books. So James Madison read them. And he was probably the most informed person in America at that point in time, as far as having access to books that hadn't even reached the continent until he put his hands on them. And so with that, James Madison, you know, was given some insights and was given some education and knowledge to kind of create this formulated idea. And he had an idea of moving the republic into a greater national government. And in all honesty, if you look at the Virginia plan, the plan that he devised, it was a very strong central government that the states had no, they were just administrative figures, kind of like they are today. And the central government had all power over, it was a general constitution that they were granting the federal government. He believed that that was the perfect course for the nation based on his education. And so what ended up happening was a real life lesson for him, because even though when one is looking from the Ivy Tower out, sometimes those things, when you really try to put them into practice, they just don't work. So when they went forward into the Constitutional Convention, Madison was just awestruck. I have to believe that as they rejected his plan, would you take offense when somebody says, hey, this plan just won't work? Huh. Really? I mean, I think most people take pride in authorship. They take pride in what they've done, and they go, you know, I think you're right. I think this really stinks. I don't know if Madison really said that, but I will say this, that the plan that was devised and the plan that came forth out of the Constitutional Convention was nothing like his plan. And it was a plan that he embraced, and he was probably the most fervent embracer of this plan. But the more important thing that I want to point out is kind of like this, and it points to the situation I am facing today. Who was Madison? Who was James Madison at that point in time? Was he a state legislator? I don't believe so. He was just a friend of Thomas Jefferson. I don't think he had really gotten too involved in politics. He may have. I think he did, because I believe he had already written the Remonstrance on Religion or Religious Persecution in Virginia. So I know that he had a political career somewhat, but he was not the giant that only Jefferson recognized Madison as a giant in education, thought, and so forth. And Washington grew keen to James Madison as he started working and so forth. And Madison, in trying to get the states to create this Constitutional Convention, he worked and worked and worked. He tried to get Washington. Washington shrugged him off. He actually sent a couple of letters. The reason Washington got involved was not because of an appeal from James Madison to Washington. Washington joined the Constitutional Convention in 1787 because Madison effectively motivated General Knox, who was a close friend of George Washington, in basically saying, hey, I know you're interested in the Society of Cincinnati, but you need to really focus on helping this nation get its feet, get its sea legs. And so with that motivation push from Knox actually got Washington to the table. But I want you to look at what he had to do. He had to get all of these people, one, just to acknowledge that they were facing certain peril. And he had to get a leader, a national recognized leader, to create validity to this argument. And so the challenge that I have is something very similar. Actually, it's even worse, because I have no political career. I have not been a political career. But what we have to do, because what Madison ended up having to do is he ended up having to get state legislators and leaders, political leaders, governors, and so forth at the state level to stand up and say, we need to unite on these very few and limited objects that we're going to delegate to a national government so that we have a common defense and a general welfare established amongst us. And so what I'm trying to do is trying to actually get the state legislators who already possess this power to wake up. So my charge isn't really to go out and create anything new. It's just to wake up those people who are already in the seats of authority and power of oversight over the Constitution to stand up and say, federal government, we never gave you this power. We never delegated you these powers to do these things. We're going to have to take these things back. And so when people said, you know, people go, well, why don't you become a state legislator? Why don't you do that? Because then I'm trapped at that state. I'm trapped within the state I'm in and servicing and doing those things good for those people. Who's going to go around to all the states and wake them up? I become tied. My hands become tied. My organization, is for what it is not even an organization. It's an idea. It is not something that is to become a self-licking ice cream cone. We are not here, and I am not trying to create and perpetuate myself into, you know, that level of speciality. I'm actually hoping to find a couple of Madisons in a few different states, and I'll tell you more about it when we get back. So please stay tuned, and I'll finish my aside when we get back. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. And so what I really need and what we need is we need our state legislators to get into a Madison paradigm. I guess that's the best way to say it. We need to find, and we don't need all of them, but we definitely need these state legislators to actually take a stand like Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Rufus King, and Eldridge Gerry, even all of these guys, Roger Sherman, these men that stood up on the principles of liberty and created a limited and defined government, and getting these state legislators to stand up and say, look, we have far more to gain as a republic by getting compliance to our Constitution, and we have everything to lose if we don't do this. And so what I need is I need real leaders. I need people to put aside their little pet projects like creating the 51st state or doing these little things that in the magnitude of what we are facing by these folks focusing on these little pet projects, we are going to be thrown asunder. We will be decimated. Our Constitution will be set aside. There's no doubt. Anybody want to refute this? Our time is limited. The school system is pumping out the useful idiots for the Bolshevik Revolution. Even if you arrested the entire education system and started changing the indoctrination and so forth, most of these teenagers and kids have already been indoctrinated, and undoing that is going to be very hard. In addition, we've got the illegal aliens that are around that are voting for the handouts. You know, they believe that there's no end to the handouts, and they believe the diatribe and the propaganda coming from the leftists that, you know, we're the richest nation in the world. We can afford to do even more. And that's scary. And that's not even to mention the unconstitutional refugees that are coming into America. And I'm going to get a little bit into that today because I know I talked about it before, but I want to get into it one more time because you need to understand that there is a trifecta trying to take over and push our constitutional republic into a pure democracy. And you little states, you flyover states, God bless you, because you're the one that's going to save us. It is you small populated little flyover states that have the equal authority over this constitution as these big, huge populated states like California. And you can put your foot down, you can anchor yourself on the Constitution, and you can save this entire republic. That's how beautiful this system is. That a minority in population, but an equal member in sovereignty, has the ability to stand up and save our Constitution and our republic. I mean, the genius and the brilliance of this, really, it goes beyond me. I'm just so lucky to have been able to read and be exposed to all of this stuff at this point in time. I look at my father and his father. Many people lived lives in the dark because they did not have access to these documents. It's almost like all of a sudden receiving scripture that provides a pure divinity of the gospel so that you know exactly what we're supposed to be doing. It would be just like, you know, living in the times of Christ and hearing Christ say everything he needed to. But even he was, in the New Testament, he referred to it, that no prophet is accepted amongst his own people. And so, I mean, that's just the nature of mankind. But the fact of the matter is what I'm saying is not prophetic. What I'm saying is just absolute truth that is coming from our founding documents. And if you go read them for yourself, you go, oh my goodness, I wish I would have read these sooner. I could have came up with this. Any numbskull could have come up with this because I'm probably the king of numbskulls, maybe. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that I don't need an organization. I don't need a machine. What I need are, you know, good, honest, patriotic legislators to stand up in all of these states. And that's what you need as well. That's what we need. And that's why we've come up with this process and system that can be duplicated in every state. And I'm going to tell you that getting the Republican Party, the Constitution Party, the parties that love the Constitution on board with this, this is where you have it. This is where you can start taking off. And as a matter of fact, the first party that comes to the table that starts embracing this and starts moving forward and getting behind this and all of this, they become the driver behind this. And so, you know, there's merit in the Constitution Party coming on board and saying, we want to do this. Then they'll drag the Republican Party, or they'll be fighting the Republican Party. And I'll tell you what, if the Constitution Party puts it out into the local medium, into everybody's, you know, social media and on regular news and so forth, and they have a great media campaign, I'm here to tell you, they will probably either overtake the Republican Party, or there will be a merger and acquisition of the Constitution Party into and back into the Republican Party. So with that, let me also tell you that I'm still going to be doing that that focus on technology, along with, you know, social media and all these different things out there that are working against you, spying against you, and doing everything it possibly can to get you to just surrender, to go along with what they believe is best for you, because you don't know any better. And they're going to convince you that this is the best way to go. Anyway, let me quickly grovel, because I feel obligated to do that. It's just not a day on the radio if I don't grovel a little bit. If you want to support us, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. I've got a link to Red State Coffee. Go get you some coffee grinds or get you some coffee beans and enjoy your Joe. That's one way you can be a part of supporting this. I would also say that if you go to GoFundMe, you can directly support us and help pay for the travel that we right now just don't have any money coming in to support the travel and going to Wyoming, going to North Dakota, Arkansas, South Dakota, and all these other red states that we need to travel to in the next couple of years. So please help. If there's other ways you want to help, you can. It's not just about money. You can get involved. I've got a few people that are working with me, or at least helping promote this. And I'm hoping that they, you know, are tuning in and helping other people get this message, because this radio program is dedicated to saving the Constitution and getting everybody on board in supporting this. So hopefully those of you listening are, you know, somehow supporting, and let me know. I mean, I get feedback, but it would be nice if you would just let me know how you can help or what you'd like to do. info@reclaimingtherepublic. We'd be honored to have you on board. There are other ways you can help as well. As I've always told you, the Constitution Club is one way to join. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org would be contacting us. But if you go to constitutionclub.ning.com, and that way you can join the Constitution Club and get involved within your county and state. You can also join Our First Right, which is an organization that is focused on trying to get representation back to a reasonable number for each representative. It's definitely a worthy cause, and both of these organizations, Constitution Club and Our First Right, are trying to drain the swamp. Very honorable things to do, things that need to be done either way, and I will tell you, though, if you go join that, and if you support both of these and you don't support Republic Review, if Republic Review does not occur, all is lost. Doesn't matter, because they will set aside the Constitution. If people do not understand that they can't do that, and if you don't let them do that, they won't. And so that's what Republic Review will do. Republic Review will help people understand that only the states have the authority to set aside their constitution. It is theirs, not the federal government's. And so what we have to do, a financial crisis is not considered a constitutional crisis. The federal government doesn't have any role responsibility over banking and those types of things. They are supposed to have the good faith and credit of the United States, but that is it. And so there's all sorts of different crises that are occurring, and they're going to try to use every single one of them to set aside our Constitution. So either way, please get involved, and at least please keep telling people to tune in, that you need to be picking up these shows, that these shows help everybody understand what needs to be done. And as always, I did look through the news, and there is no news that the federal government is going to disband any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so with that, that means you and I have to do it. There is no way around this. Either we do this or we fail. And so we'll just go ahead and move forward. I'll briefly tell you that Red Pill Expo is coming up June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Please get your tickets. Go to Red Pill Expo. I think it's redpillexpo.net. I will have the links up on my page, but just Google or DuckDuckGo Red Pill Expo. Get your tickets on so that you can go and be there and be a part of the dialogue and solution. Anyway, when we come back, I've got some other things I want to kind of cover really quickly, and hopefully in another day or two I can get into the details of these issues, because I think you need to know about them, because you're not going to hear them on Fox, any mainstream media, and sometimes you might hear about them on social media, but they try to filter these things out. We'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
I'm not sure if you've ever read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, but I will tell you this, that within that book, there's these quadrants. And he talks, and Covey talks about draining the swamp or fighting alligators. And he says, obviously, if an alligator comes along and it's going to eat you, you either fight that alligator off and, you know, live to drain the swamp another day, or you will never drain that swamp because that alligator will kill you. In looking at the priorities, when we look at abortion, when we look at these illegals and supporting the militias and trying to stop these things, none of those things are the alligators. None of those things can really kill you. If the borders, if the illegals keep on coming across, we will still survive that over the next few years. The only way we can survive that over the next few years is if we start conducting republic review. Does this make sense? Because it doesn't matter what's going on. And even though people are dying, children are dying at the hands of abortionists. Is there any way of stopping that any other way than republic review? No. The only thing that gets federal government out of our knickers, then it comes back down to the, so let's just work the case of abortion. If all of a sudden we get Republic Review going through, and then we take the stand and say, look, you don't have any ability and jurisdiction over health care, over determining life, or anything else. These are all state issues. So then it comes back down to the states. Now your challenge is to focus on getting your states to comply to the designs or the desires of the people, or amend and or rewrite your state constitution in such a manner that your state government has the limited powers to what they need to do, instead of allowing them to do terrible things that they shouldn't be doing. That's how we do this. That's the only way we can do this, so that we can actually guarantee in the future that your children and your grandchildren will have an opportunity to live free. Our whole future is riding on the fact that we stop the destruction of our Constitution and the destruction of this republic. Sure, there are lots of things that are happening, and they're all simultaneous. As I've said before, the big metaphor. We're at a train station, and in every direction, as you turn 1 degree in each direction, a 360-degree circle, every degree there is another train coming in, and it's equal distance from all the rest of these trains, and they're all going to reach the train station at once, and they don't have brakes, and there's no way to stop them. That's the type of collision. That is the type of upheaval that we are going to hit when they pull the triggers on all of these little problems. And we're going to get into one of these little problems, hopefully today. If not, we're going to get into it tomorrow regarding the UN's plan in undermining the United States through this refugee program. But I'm here to tell you that if people put aside their special interests or these little pet peeves, oh, we got to stop this, and if everybody focused in getting the federal government back into compliance, I will show you. If you don't know how your little problem that you find the federal government doing something and how compliance to the Constitution will fix that problem, let me know. Because we can look at it in lots of different directions, but 9 times out of 10, we'll find that the federal government has opened the door or has done something outside the framework of the Constitution, which it shouldn't be doing, like education or health care or welfare or housing, all of these things. The federal government has no business being in, and they are causing all sorts of problems. Now, the intent was supposedly for good ideas. Oh, well, we're going to help this. It doesn't matter. The only way they can do something, the only way they can do anything, it has to be delegated to them by the state for them to be doing it constitutionally. If not, it's tyranny. It's arbitrary. It is outside the Constitution and therefore illegal. The federal government doesn't dictate what they can do. The states dictate what they will allow them to do. We have this whole relationship all mixed up. The states are the parents here. The federal government is the child. And so I will just kind of cover a couple of stories, as I just wanted to kind of give you some, you know, clarification on draining the swamp and fighting alligators. The real alligator is the federal government. Because all of the things and all of the damage it is doing in every little facet of our lives that they're doing things to us in, that is truly what's killing us. And more so than any of these other little issues, side issues, because that is only one part of the issue itself. Anyway, there are a couple of things I wanted to bring up. The legislators of Vermont and Maine have passed bills that are going to allow themselves to change from celebrating Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. And I think it was the governor of Vermont, a Republican, says, hey, you know, everybody else is doing it kind of thing. It's almost like the state legislators of Utah surrendering to the Convention of States, saying, well, you know, if we pass this, then these guys will shut up and they'll leave us alone. What? What kind of common sense has been lost in Utah? What are they? Are they drinking Salt Lake City water? Or the Salt Lake water? Anyway, New Mexico militias detaining illegals. I want to get into this story as well. and I want to get into the Dew weapon. So I mentioned these last Friday. These are the things that I want to kind of get into so you can understand, not the Columbus Day news. I was just kind of, what? Are you kidding me? But I do want to get into these other two issues regarding the militia, because I've talked heavily about this over the past, what, month and a half? And so it is critical that we understand why and what the militia is supposed to be doing. And this is exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And the only way we can get back to this is getting back into the framework and compliance to the Constitution, because it's clear right in within the Constitution, the militia is supposed to be doing this. This is the militia's job, stopping these invasions. Now, let me get into some news. I've only got a little time left of this segment, and I'll try to get through this in the next segment, our last segment. But I want to talk about the religion of peace. And so I really love it when you see Hollywood star like Patricia Heaton using social media and slamming the liberals for the way they have obfuscated the truth and just ignore these things. And she slammed them for going after Mueller, you know, outside of his religious, services of Easter, you know, and ignoring the fact that this is the most holy day of Christianity. And she slams them for the fact that they're not covering this coordinated Muslim attack in Sri Lanka. And so G. Edward Griffin on his Need to Know News covered this today. And I believe it's like 290 people, almost 300 people have been acknowledged as killed in this coordinated attack. And so this was a string of at least 8 explosions that ripped through 3 Catholic churches and 3 high-end hotels filled with tourists, killing more than, again, he said about 200, but it's actually on the figures now about 300 on Easter morning. Sri Lanka's police chief issued an alert to top officers 10 days ago warning that Muslim suicide bombers were planning to hit prominent churches. They had to have known, with the Christian holiday coming up, that that would be their focus. No group has actually come forward to claim responsibility for the attack, but there has been an increase in persecution and threats against Christians from the Muslims and even the Buddhist populations in Sri Lanka. Even the Buddhists are getting into this. However, one of the alleged suicide bombers behind the attacks was identified as Zahran Hashim, who previously made a video declaring anyone who disagrees with Muslims should be killed. And a little side note, you've probably heard this already, but billionaire Anders Holich Poulsen, I believe he's a Scandinavian part of Europe, a billionaire, lost 3 of his 4 children in Sri Lanka on Sunday. It's hard. I can't fathom what a parent must go through when they've lost almost all their kids. Boom. 3/4 of your kids, 75% of your family and children are just gone. I just can't imagine that. My heart goes out for this guy. On the heels of this, Brunei sent an email, or actually it was a letter. It was a formal letter to the EU. And the prime minister, the PM or MP, whatever they call the prime minister of Brunei, was defending the need for stoning to death gay men in this letter. In other words, this was another Islamic policy or theological doctrine that you need to do these things. But we're not done yet. But this is how technology actually helps the globalist cause, because what they ended up doing in Sri Lanka was the social media networks actually blocked the country completely. They just shut them down after these attacks started. And so there was really hard to get information out, and it was very slow coming. In addition to not only just blocking them, social media began filtering and blocking the information abroad. They did not want people to, you know that this was a Muslim terrorist attack or anything like that. In contrast to the alleged white supremacist attack in New Zealand. And so I'll let you ponder on that. And we've got more regarding the religion of peace and the religion of love when we come back. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so I talked about this briefly last Friday regarding the religion of love and how Iran is forcing more and more young girls into child marriage at a record clip, my friends. And so an Iranian parliamentary motion banning child marriage, just so you understand this, there was a proposal to ban this practice in December in Iran. And the motion was killed before it even had a chance due to the many clerics who dominate the ruling class and are the recipients of these child brides. Because you know you can have more than one wife. And despite the public outcry in favor of the ban, there is no desire among the authorities to end this despotic practice. Where is the visceral hate from the Me Too movement? Where is the righteous indignation from the progressives, regarding this inhumane treatment of little girls? Where? And as a matter of fact, let me challenge you to start promulgating, get this story out into social media and find out what social media will do to this story. And then you'll understand who they're protecting. And then you'll understand actually who they're not protecting. Because they do not want to protect Christianity. Christianity is the problem. They teach, I've been telling you this for a long time. Back in December, I told you about the school system. They're teaching kids that Christianity is trying to ruin your right to have a good time and having fun and being able to get as perverse as you want to be. Because Christianity has these standards and they call this stuff sin and they make you feel bad about it. Anyway, despite the public outcry, like I said, in favor of this ban, these authorities, this ruling class, has no desire to change this policy. You have to understand that the history of marrying young girls, and when I say young girls, I mean prepubescent girls, goes back to the founder, Mohammed. The Ayatollah Khomeini himself insisted that the Prophet Muhammad is the perfect example for all Muslims, and Shiite jurists argue all the time that he married a six-year-old bride, Aisha, with whom he consummated the marriage when she was only 9 years old, and by him, he stated that she had reached puberty at that point. My friends, this is a part of the doctrine of the religion of love, Islam. And so I know that when you come out and criticize, you know, these folks, whether it be the godless atheist, whether it be any communist, when you start putting crosshairs on people and saying these are the bad guys, they come after you. And so I just want you to understand that you have to start understanding this news. So you need to get out there. You need to grab these pieces of information and put it out on social media. If you put it into a text form, it will be caught pretty quickly and it'll be shut down. Put it into an image, like a meme, into a JPEG file or something else, and it'll actually get out there and get copied and floated out, and people will have a hard time finding it. And so that's how information can get out in images, but or in video. Just put it in embedded video, and then it'll take a while for somebody to finally put a complaint in against it. But that's how the information can get out. Because bottom line is, the social media network is doing everything they can to quiet and keep these things from growing legs. Because they know that when you start realizing what we're dealing with and the evil face of some of these theologies and ideologies that we are facing, it's not just Muslims, it's not just Islam. The evil ideology is embraced by lots of different people. And what I mean by the evil ideology, I mean subjugation. When somebody tells you that slavery is good, then they're wired in a way that they will do anything necessary to obtain their means. I tell you this all the time. The ends justify the means. That's why they do what they do. The person that believes in liberty believes that everybody needs to be, you know, fixed, indoctrinated, or, you know, taught and shown the facts so that they can start choosing the right things to do. And that's what a liberal-minded person, when I say liberal-minded, I mean classically liberal-minded, not these progressive subjectionists, the ones that want to enslave you to the state, and they just don't care. They are not liberals. They are tyrants. And so I just wanted to make this has got to be really clear for you. I'm hoping that this, you know, this rings a bell. It resonates in your heart and mind that, you know, we are facing people that they're not going to get there. And I hate to say this. But you're going to find in your own family that there are people that will just absolutely click and they get hardwired and that is it. There's just no talking to them anymore. They will shut you down. The only thing you can do is you can continue to keep faith, hate, hope, and pray that they come around, because we cannot succumb to their ideology in forcing them to see the light. But what we may have to do is we may have to fight to isolate ourselves, to protect ourselves, because we have a right to protecting our way of life, our liberty, and our justice and mercy. Therefore, you know, let you be forewarned, okay? Now let me move into something else that I've kind of mentioned this before. This is on the Need to Know News as well from G. Edward Griffin. And he talks about this, so I want to kind of go through the story. An unidentified American woman from Missouri who learned about her state's refugee immigration program by attending UN-sponsored meetings and participating in the programs. She said that refugees are brought into the United States in alliance with the UN Refugee Resettlement Organization offices of refugee monitoring out of Washington, D.C. In her state, Missouri, social services administers the refugee programs that provide welfare for housing, food stamps, and Medicare, in addition to cash and jobs. The refugees receive a U.S. passport as well as social security numbers so that they can receive social security benefits at your expense. They are screened and, where possible, encouraged to apply for lifetime disabilities against your benefits, draining the system under Social Security. Many refugees are allowed into the U.S. who have and possess communicable diseases such as tuberculosis, leprosy, and smallpox. The woman reported that there is a zero vetting of refugees and that most all are FUNUs, which is an acronym for full name unknown. Most of them are males aged 15 to 45 instead of women and children. She said that Trump has reduced the number of refugees from Obama's proposed 110,000 down to 50. From October 2016 through February 2017, the U.S. had taken in 34,000. Democrats are not the only supporters of increased refugee immigration. Paul Ryan advocated bringing in 300,000 refugees into the United States. The refugees usually are transported for settlement in the dead of night, not because of the lower airfares, but because to avoid crowds of being seen by people at the airport under the shroud of darkness. The federal government is secretive about how many refugees are being resettled in the United States, and many governors are totally unaware of how many refugees they have in their states. The governors of Texas and Tennessee have refused to accept any more refugees and now are being sued by the U.S. government. Question is, do you think Trump knows? Do you think Trump is aware of this? That's a good question. The Wilson Fish program, go look this up. The Wilson Fish program allows the U.S. government to circumvent state sovereignty. And this is all unconstitutional, I'm telling you. But they're telling people, hoodwink, wink, 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 that they can do this. But they're bypassing state sovereignty in refugee settlements by funding third-party organizations. This woman mentioned several third-party organizations that benefit from taxpayer money in this way, and they include the Jewish Vocational Services, Catholic Charities, and Lutheran organizations. They receive $25,000 for each process that they do for each refugee. Plus, they are given block grants to staff offices. She said she believed that they are making huge amounts of money above their costs. And you know, they're serving mammon. These religious groups are serving mammon. Her closing comments was this, that she believes the refugees are a tool of invasion by the United Nations under the Agenda 2030 to remove national borders. If the UN officially recognizes a group of refugees, then UN peacekeeper soldiers may be placed wherever the refugees are located. So in other words, if you got refugees near you, then the UN can bring in troops to protect them. She said that there have been sightings of UN trucks in her state, and she also said that there has been a scheme to remove county sheriffs in order to implement total UN authority in local areas. I will finish this up tomorrow. As you can tell, it's pretty hot, it's pretty important, and I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we'll be back. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.